From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Bow Down, Be Lifted Up. The text is found in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. This is tantamount to a promise. If we will bow down, the Lord will lift us up. Humility leads to honor. Submission is the way to exaltation. That same hand of God which presses us down is waiting to raise us up when we are prepared to bear the blessing. We stoop to conquer. Many cringe before men, and yet miss the patronage they crave. But he that humbles himself under the hand of God shall not fail to be enriched, uplifted, sustained, and comforted by the ever-gracious One. It is a habit of Jehovah to cast down the proud and lift up the lowly. Yet there is a time for the Lord's working. We ought now to humble ourselves, even at this present moment, and we are bound to keep on doing so, whether the Lord lays His afflicting hand upon us or not. When the Lord smites, it is our special duty to accept the chastisement with profound submission. But as for the Lord's exaltation of us, that can only come in due time. And God is the best judge of that day and hour. Do we cry out impatiently for the blessing? Would we wish for untimely honor? What are we at? Surely we are not truly humbled, or we should wait with quiet submission. So let us do.
What a privilege to come into God's presence, just to linger with the One who set me free. As I lift my eyes and see His awesome glory, I remember who He is and bow the knee. Bow the knee. In his hands he holds the power of creation. With his voice he spoke, and all things came to be. Yet he hears each simple prayer I bring before him, as I humbly seek his face and bow the knee.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. As he proceeds with this study of the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called Universal Guilt and Total Depravity. In chapter 3, the Apostle Paul has reminded the Jews of their great heritage as God's chosen people and their high privilege of having been the recipients of the Old Testament scriptures, the law of God. The Jews objected to Paul's preaching of salvation by grace alone because he applied it to them as well as to the Gentiles. In verses 9 through 20 of the chapter, Paul shows that both Jews and Gentiles are equally guilty before God. Verse 9 has been a particular problem for Bible expositors in deciding whether Paul's words, "Are we better than they?" applies to the Jews or to the Gentiles. Dr. Cairns will seek to clarify this matter as he continues this message, Universal Guilt and Total Depravity.
If this is to be translated, "Are we worse off?" then the whole passage says the Gentiles are as guilty as the Jews. If it is to be translated, "Are we better off?" then the whole passage indicates that the Jews are as guilty as the Gentiles. And hundreds, thousands, millions, I think, of words have been written over the centuries on this great debate as to how we're to translate Romans 3 and verse 9. And I don't mean at all to short-circuit the debate, but I simply say to you, there is great truth in whichever way you look at it. And at the end of the day, it's proving Jews and Gentiles are both under sin. But as we have it here in our Bible, I want you to look at it very carefully. Because here, Paul is asking the question. Paul is summing up all that's been going on, and he's saying, are we Jews better than those Gentiles? Now, you can't help but mark the similarity with verses 1 and 2. What advantage then hath the Jew? What profit is there of circumcision? That was the question of the Jewish objector. Now we come full circle, and Paul says, what then? Are we better than they? Now, in the beginning of the chapter, having gone through chapter 2, coming to the beginning of chapter 3, we would expect the answer to be no advantage. And we are surprised when he says much in every way. Now in verse 9, when the Jew hears him say, what then, are we better than they? The Jew would expect, yes. But Paul says, not at all. Altogether not. I want you to think of this. For the message is very clear and very far-reaching. Paul says at the beginning of the chapter, the Jews are better off than the Gentiles. Why? Because they have multitudes of spiritual advantages. I took a whole Sabbath evening to deal with this. They have the oracles of God committed to their trust. They have the oracles of God. They can take the very word of God in their hands. While other poor nations, heathen peoples, were left to the follies and the fantasies and the philosophies of men as corrupt as themselves and led astray into great wickedness and darkness, the Jews had the oracles of God. It was a great advantage. They had divine worship revealed by inspiration. They had the immediate intervention of God at every step of their history. They had the miracles of grace. They had the burgeoning revelation of divine redemption until it was fulfilled in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had all this. The Jews had great advantages. They were better off. But, he says, they were no better. There's a world of difference. They were better off, but they were not better than the Gentiles. Because, as verse 9 makes it clear, they were still sinners condemned and unclean. Despite all his advantages, the Jew remained every bit as lost as the pagan. What a serious thought this is. I want you to take it much to heart. Because while we're not dealing in this meeting with Jews and Gentiles, we're dealing with the very same spiritual realities. We have this thought, we're dealing here with a people whose advantages were vast and real, but they did them no lasting good. Think of that. They had wonderful advantages, but they did them no lasting good. They were born in the best nation on earth in which to be born. They were brought up with the sound of divine truth in their ears. When they were educated and they were taught to read, they were taught to read using the oracles of God. They grew up learning the scriptures off by heart. They were born into a nation with the richest history of any nation on earth. They were blessed, blessed and blessed again. And yet it did them no lasting good. I do not for one moment espouse the lunacy, and I have no fear of using that description of it. I have no time for the lunacy of what is called British Israelism or Anglo-Israelism. America and Britain are no part of the tribes of Israel, and anybody who tells you so is leading you astray. But anybody who could fail to see the parallel between what I've just said of the Jew and what may be said of you who were born into this nation would be blind indeed. Could you have been born into a better nation on God's earth? This is not to say it's the godliest nation. But is there a freer? Were you not born into a situation where you had immediate contact with the truth of God? A Bible freely available to you, the preaching of the gospel sounding in your ears, the invitations of divine grace reaching you day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, in contact with people who loved your soul, expounded the gospel to you, pleaded with you to be saved, brought you under the sound of the gospel, prayed for you. All the advantages are real and great. Yet I fear, even in this small group tonight, you've people who have all the advantages. They are better off than those who were born under communism or under paganism or Islam or some other tyranny. But you're no better than they. It's done you no good. You see, advantages in themselves cannot save. It's not blessings that save. It's blood, the blood of Christ. Oh, we must cherish those blessings, but we should make proper use of them. What the old Puritans would have said would have been, we must improve the blessings. It's not to make the blessings better, but it's to become better as the result of the blessing. Many fail to do it, practically despise the blessings. When you have a Bible, as Dr. Douglas was talking about this morning, you live without reference to the God of this book. You have a Bible that lies unread, unopened. You have an access to the throne of God, but you never take it. You have a gospel invitation, but you never receive it. What are you doing? But throwing back in the teeth of the Almighty the very blessings with which He has blessed you, despising them. And yet, hypocritically, the people who despise their blessings, want to hide behind them as the Jews did, say, I have been greatly blessed of God, therefore I must be safe. And so the question was, are we better than the Gentiles? Are we safe or safer than they? And Paul's answer was, altogether not. Not at all. And here he deliberately issues the strongest and most absolute denial of the superiority and the smug self-righteousness that marked the Jew. For he says, we have before, the word proved is actually charged. We have both charged, or charged both Jews and Gentiles with being under sin. Now to the Jew that was obnoxious to national pride. But you see, Paul was also a Jew, and Paul knew the Jewish scriptures. And he therefore set about going to the Jewish scriptures, the Old Testament, to show them that his doctrine was not Pauline, it was scriptural. It was not new, it was as old as the Word of God. It was not something that he had dreamed up, it was the doctrine of the Old Testament. And so he quoted the Old Testament to prove his point that all men were sinners. And having emphasized this, he makes the point when we get down to verse 19 that while this applies to all men, the Old Testament was particularly written to the Jews. God speaks directly to those who boast in the law, and therefore they are under sin. So there's no escape from the condemnation of the very law in which the Jews boasted and hoped for their salvation. Now I want to say tonight very simply that this text, it's a long text, is as important today as it was when Paul wrote it. In some ways, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Are not people today looking for a way of escape, just as the Jews were, while remaining enemies of God and His Christ? That's the mark of the wicked nature of man. And I think it's probably more prevalent today than it ever has been before. As men advance technologically, they think that they're becoming as wise as God. Poor little idiots. I listened to a man being interviewed some months ago. Just his manner of speech. I was about to go to bed and I flicked from the news to, probably had gone to adverts, and with my love of adverts, I flicked away. And this was a what looked to me a young black man of about 30, turned out to be a man of 50. And just the way he spoke, I said, this is a fellow I would like to listen to. Turned out he was a professing Christian. He was also one of the world's leading experts in pediatric brain surgery. And I was fascinated as he spoke of the human brain. Said things about it that I'm sure must be true because he's an expert. When I tried to apply them to my brain, it didn't seem to quite work. But one thing he said about this brain, even of the dumbest of us, is it makes the greatest computers that the world has seen like nothing. Just like nothing. And I thought, here are people who have made a little computer, and they can send a man to the moon or a probe out into space, and suddenly they're as great as God. And here's a man who knows a little more about these things, says, no, doesn't even compare. And yet because of man's little advances, what he imagines are advances, I think when we all get to heaven, we realize that Adam knew probably a whole lot more than the people who think they're advancing way beyond them. But we'll not get into that. They think that they can actually, while rejecting God and His Christ, still say God owes them something. While despising, for example, the love of God, You hear this in Christ. You hear this constant questioning. How can God be a God of love and allow what happened in Rwanda? How can a God of love allow this and that and the other thing to happen to a world that's living in utter, open, flagrant rebellion against Him, while all the time they deny, despise, and put away the greatest demonstration of love of which the divine being is capable? That is the giving of Himself in His own dear Son. At the same time, sinners appeal to their own smug self-righteousness, just as the Jews did. And to them, Paul's answer is what it was to the Jews, that all men, both Jews and Gentiles, are under sin, and therefore are under the condemnation of God because of sin. The great theme of this portion, then, is universal guilt and total depravity.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.